We've got a code. Use code VOLLYPOD for 20% off almost anything on the Art of Coaching Volleyball website, including premium memberships, coaching resources, and nearly all books. That's VOLLYPOD, VOLLEYPOD. Use it to save anytime you're on the site. Are you ready to take your volleyball game to the next level? Every week on the VOLLYPOD, we talk to two top coaches who share their secrets for success on the court. From drills to build skills to strategies for boosting confidence, you won't want to miss this valuable advice. Tune in now and elevate your game today.
Good evening and welcome to the VOLLYPOD. How are you this evening, Todd?
Davis, I'm doing real well tonight because we have a special guest.
Special episode. Who do we got in the house tonight?
We're bringing in John Mayer.
Oh.
Famous, not the singer-songwriter. This is the volleyball guy, right? Who is really bigger than the singer-songwriter.
In my world, he is.
In our world, yes. In the VOLLYPOD's world, way bigger.
Way bigger.
Way bigger.
Absolutely.
So, John, welcome.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I think this must be the only world I'm bigger than that John Mayer. But I think I can claim that I'm the second most famous John Mayer.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you a little bit, just so if our listeners don't know John very well. John played at Pepperdine University, won a national championship there, then went on the beach. And I just learned you won the San Diego Open in our hometown. Is that correct?
I guess I did. Yeah, that was the first tournament I won. It was with Jeff Nygaard.
Nice.
Wow, very cool.
Upset Jake Gibb and Sean Rosenthal. Yeah, pretty cool.
Super cool. I didn't know that. So obviously John had a successful beach career and then now is a successful coach. Currently the beach coach at Loyola Marymount University. Has been kind of multiple coach of the year in his conference honors, and the squad is in the top. They've been in the top 10 perennially. I think the last couple of years you've been maybe in the top 5. How's the team doing? Give us a little update on what's going on with your squad right now, John.
Yeah, we're in the throes of it. We're got back from Florida State last weekend. We won all 4 matches there, and then we're heading to Cal Poly tomorrow. We're playing UCLA, who's number 1 right now, and we're playing Florida State and Cal Poly. So yeah, we're season so far has been okay. We've had some tight losses, a couple good wins throughout it, but hoping to finish strong and head into Gulf Shores playing our best volleyball.
That's exciting stuff. Exciting stuff. Obviously, playing UCLA, you're not scheduling like we are. Trying to avoid the top teams. Yeah. You're getting in there and getting after it, playing the best teams in the country. So good stuff. Good stuff. Well, John, we're so happy to have you here. The one thing we didn't talk about is your podcast, which is Coach Your Brains Out, which I've been, and I know Davis, both of us
big
have
fans.
Been avid listeners.
Yes.
And you've been, moving me along that road to EcoD and all my players are going, what happened to you? What kind of lobotomy did you have? And I'm all, it's the new me. And it's all Coach Your Brain's Out's fault. So thank you for, giving back to the sport and all the work you guys have done, you and your whole crew there. So we appreciate it. But let's get to it. We're going to hit you up for, we start always with a skill. And so we asked you to prepare something, and we don't know much about it. So we're excited to hear. What do you have? What can you help us with as far as skill goes?
Yeah. Well, first I would say give me credit for Coach Your Brains Out, but thanks, Todd. You've been a contributor. You've added a lot to what we've done with the podcast. But also, I've loved listening to the VOLLYPOD. I think you guys had Trinzy on, which was awesome. I've listened to a couple others, and I love that you guys are really organized and thoughtful about how you put it together, and you're going to get a lot of bang for your buck for the time you invest in listening. So I think you guys do a great job with it.
Thank you.
But yeah, so to the skill, and just to make sure I keep pulling Todd further into this ecological dynamics universe, this skill involves something called differential learning, which is about as out there as it gets when it comes to skill development. So I guess just to give a little bit on differential learning, if people aren't aware, it's really a way to get someone to explore outside of what they would typically do. So asking if, you know, for serving, maybe we would say try serving and jump off one foot, try serving and toss the ball with backspin, try serving and hit the left side of the ball, try tossing the ball really high, try tossing it low, things like that, to get people to explore the movement landscape and eventually, you know, create lots of noise and then settle on maybe a more stable solution through that exploration. There's a lot more to it, but that's kind of just a brief thing. And one of the reasons I like starting practice with it is, from my understanding, is that when they've done some differential learning and they've done some MRI scans on the brain, they found that it dims the prefrontal cortex. The prefrontal cortex is our thinking mind. And so when we come into practice, I think what happens a lot, if I'm a high school player, if I'm a college player, if I'm a any level player, I'm coming in to play with my friends, I'm coming in with my peers, with a coach, and I think the mind can get very critical and very judgmental and think about, what do I look like? What are people thinking of me? And then you end up just doing things that you're already good at, or doing things that are safe and comfortable, and you don't want to get outside of your normal movement patterns. So by doing some differential learning and you dim that prefrontal cortex, which turns off that judgmental mind, and it allows you to get to more of a space where you can be less critical and more open to learning and trying new things. So I kind of like it as this primer heading into practice, where we're hopefully setting them up for lots of learning the rest of the way. But the actual activity that I like doing, and this is more of a version of differential learning, probably not true differential learning, we've been doing a lot of practice recently, call it ABC serving. So each letter would represent a different serve. So we've been doing it recently where we put a string up from antenna to antenna to get some feedback on hitting it really flat. I know that's probably a pretty common thing. But on top of that, we'll do A. The A we've been doing, the A serve would be, we've had them, you know, we're in the sand, but you can do this obviously in a gym with tape or using lines, but we'll have them draw a line to their serving alley. So we number the alleys 1 through 4. They draw a line to the alley and they try to approach on that line and swing and serve towards that alley and see if they can hit it and hit it under the string. So that would be A. B could be, and this is, we do all sorts of versions of this, but say if we had that as A, B could be, you got to go to a new line, but now you're going to go on that line and you have to serve to a different alley. So you have to go offline. So I might be going towards the cross court with my line, but I got to swing towards the line. We call it like the one alley. So that could be B. And then C, maybe this would be more in the spirit of differential learning, would say some sort of creative serve, some sort of innovative serve we've never seen before that maybe no one's ever even tried before. You know, be creative, have fun with it, really explore the landscape. And each time, every C, do something different, something new. You get a bonus point if you, for the most creative serve. With all three of them, you'll cycle through A, B, and C. And with all three, we remind them, the goal is to get a knockout, to get the passer in trouble within these, you know, whether it's creative, whether it's you're going online or offline.
So now you're on the beach, so you're playing doubles here with these serves, or what do your numbers look like as far as courts and number of players?
So, you know, we're lucky to have 4 courts and 16 people, so we'll usually have 4 on each court. There'll be 2 passers and 2 servers. This is probably one of the few 5 to 10 minutes where we don't play it out. We have the passers pass and set.
Okay.
And that's it. So it's just serve, pass, set.
Okay. So there's kind of a focus. There's a focus on the serve. So you do get without playing it out. And once again, I think all of us like playing stuff out, but you do get some focus on those first contacts when you don't play it out. It's easy to remember. It's you forget those first contacts when the point starts, right?
Right. Right, yeah, I think it's a little way to maybe ease into practice from getting our bodies warm. and also a way to open up the creativity. But yeah, like I said, we'll still pass that out of it. So we want that feedback. We want the server to get lots of feedback from how effective their serve was, because the passer will give them lots, all the info, whether it was an effective serve or not. So when we do it, we also will give the passers a challenge as well. So one example we've been doing a lot recently is we've been doing this idea of some observational learning. So what we'll do is we'll choose two passers on our team, maybe two very different passers, different sizes, maybe one who's really simple and maybe one who's a little noisy. Even today we did a setting where we had someone who had a deeper handset and one of them had a quicker release. So what we'll do is we'll serve five at one player and we'll have everybody watch. And we'll say, you're going to have to mirror this girl. You're going to have to mirror Sally and be exactly like her.
I like that.
And so that will be she's going to be the A today. And so we'll make sure, go to a different angle, really watch, really study you're going to see an exact replica. And we're going to have a contest to see who can be the best mirror of Sally.
Oh, wow. And then, interesting.
And then B, we'll have, she does 5 to 10, or you get enough, everyone see it. Okay, now we go to the B player. And again, like I said, it'd be someone, we'd want it to be a contrast. Someone who does, who's maybe is an effective passer, maybe not, but we want someone who has control and does it in a different way. And then we'll watch her for 5 to 10, and then make sure they really study. And then the passers will go and they're gonna contrast it. One time they'll be A, one time they'll be B. And like I said, we'll have the coaches on that court judge who's gonna, who nails their
first. Interesting. Fun stuff. I gotta come back to a practice. I haven't seen that stuff, but it reminds me, did you guys ever see, I'm a tennis guy. So did you ever see the stuff that, I think Djokovic did some stuff where he did he did his Roger Federer, and then he does his Rafael Nadal, and those guys do the other guys like that. And then it reminded me of course, were you a basketball guy, John?
That's what I was just
saying. Oh, yeah.
So who were you when you were growing up? Who were the John basketball Stockton. Guys? You were John Stockton?
I was Dennis Rodman. Oh, yeah. I couldn't shoot.
Dennis Rodman.
I could not shoot.
I was Earl Monroe.
Okay.
Earl Monroe. Nice. That's going probably before your time. And then the Iceman.
Oh, nice.
Little finger roll, George Gervin.
Yes.
Oh, okay. The Iceman. Oh, so it's taking all of the modeling stuff that we did as kids with basketball and all that kind of free play. And it's in LMU beach volleyball. Man. Genius. I love that stuff. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. I found it to be really, in terms of people moving in new ways or trying things, you could tell them, plenty of stuff. And a lot of times the body is uninterested in what the coach has to say. But when they get an opportunity to see it and observe it and then go try to mirror it. And there's some research on mirror neurons, the way our brain works. When we see something, we can replicate it a little bit. And then I also really like the contrasting, where we're not saying you have to be this one way. We're trying to expand the spectrum of the ways they can set, or whatever skill we chose. We do it with servers too, mirroring. So we expand that. How many different ways can you pass accurately when you have a quick release, et cetera, a slower release, or so we're trying to push that.
Very interesting. Very interesting stuff. I haven't heard. This is all new stuff. I thought we're going to talk to John and I'm going to know a lot of this stuff. And now all of a sudden you throw a bunch of stuff. I'm going, this is too good. Unbelievable.
Oh, good.
I love it. Good. I love it.
I'm glad I got to add something. Yeah. And then even with that, so we'll usually do an ABC there too. So A, mirror, Sally, B, mirror.
And your kids have to have fun with this stuff. I would imagine they have to be laughing, and there has to be a bunch of stuff that is bringing the vibes. Got to be positive starting out your practices when they're doing this.
I think that's the best part of it. Is that it's fun, it's creative, it's exploratory, and then they have fun trying to be like their teammates, and getting outside of overthinking. What they're like, and they get a chance to try something new.
Well, we think too. Yeah. The other thing that reminds me of is when we have kids who start playing volleyball, and you know, you call them donor sports, of course, but the kids who have like a gymnastics background or have a martial arts background, and they're able to kind of just do things with their body where you might give them some feedback or something, and they're so much more in tune with their body, right? Because they have that training. And for kids who, and now we're starting with volleyball so young, and you know, with single sport players and everything, we lose some of that. So you're adding that as well with this kind of body awareness, which is probably something that is definitely undertaught.
Yeah. It's really cool. And I've seen probably doing this more than a lot of things, like more transfer where, especially with serving, I've found when we've had a mirror different servers, and sometimes we'll do it where we will give professional players to mirror, like choose, we've done it with defenders, you know, watch Kristen Nuss and then, you know, pick maybe a taller defender and watch her, and they'll come in and mirror them. But like I was saying with serving, we've done that as well and found that people have adapted, you know, new serving. They've added this that they wouldn't have through kind of conventional, you know, us telling them maybe the proper way to do it.
Fun so, stuff. Yeah, I love it.
There's a lot there.
What a great skill. That was, that's one of our all time skills, segments. Thanks so much.
If I could just one thing on that, the only thing I like too, I mean, there's tons of stuff I like about it, but when you have contrasts, you can find the similarities, right? So like I've been watching a bunch of basketball, and like this guy, Tyrese Halliburton, is going off this year, and he's got the most unusual shot in the league. One of the most unusual shots in the league, but he's so good. Like he's so money. So it's like, well, what does he actually do that the other shooters do, but it doesn't look the same, right? Well, he's got a consistent release. He's got a consistent feed or whatever it is. And I really like that idea of noticing. And then they become students of the game, right? That's really
cool. Yeah.
Benefit to it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's a great point in there. A lot of coaches, you know, we're always complaining, oh, you know, our players don't have a high IQ, but once again, you are building IQ training into your practices from right when they walk in. And it's just a natural part of your practice, which is cool. I love it.
Super cool.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Yeah, I think there's a lot to this, and I hope people can try it out. It's pretty simple and pretty fun.
Yeah. Good stuff. All right. That takes us to our second segment, which is the scenario. And I'm sure that over your years of coaching, you've had a bunch of challenging scenarios. And we're curious to learn what you want to share.
Yeah. The first thing that came to mind was, and you had mentioned to me the idea of talking about motivational interviewing, so can talk about some of those principles. Had a big influence on me, but the first thing that came to mind was someone being frustrated at practice. And we set up our practice where there's lots of hard problems to solve, and a lot of our games that we play are challenging and are emphasizing areas that players might have weaknesses. So there's plenty of reason to get frustrated, and when people get, you know, too frustrated, I think the learning slows down, the exploration stops, and you kind of lose the purpose of the activity because they're just stuck in this cycle of frustration.
Yeah, we talked little bit, I think, last week about the idea of challenge point, and if that challenge point moves down, so we're in very low percentages with success, that makes it difficult. So and there's I'm sure when you're presenting all of the problems to solve, they're not going to be the same for every player, and some are going to have a perfect challenge point. Some might be a little too easy and some might be a little too tough. So now you're dealing with some of those players where they're on that side that it's a little too tough. Coach Todd might walk away and go to the kids who are doing the best and saying, wow, look at those kids. Look at how well they're doing here. But I'm sure, John, that you approach it a little differently. So how do you do it?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely imperfect and I miss it a lot. But I think when I'm coaching well, I'm observing and observing, are they engaging with the challenge? Are they exploring? Are they trying to problem solve it, or do they seem stuck? And then also, yeah, just noticing the psychological state. Are they themselves? Like, if I know the players well enough, I have a sense of who they are and what they're like at their best. And if I'm observing someone's not in that place, and I would look for a moment, maybe we would take a timeout during the activity and say, you know, 1 minute timeout, or if you're switching sides, I'll grab that player. And I would try, I think when I'm at my best, I would start with curiosity and not come in assuming I know why they're frustrated. So I would just come in with more of an open-ended question or just kind of an observation. Like, it seems like you're frustrated, or it seems like you're not quite yourself. You know, not assuming, but saying that this is what it looks like to me. What are you feeling?
So now, is that part of the motivational interviewing? Can you give us just a little bit of maybe a little quick synopsis of the MI, the motivational interviewing? I remember listening to the pod, and yeah. I really liked it. And a couple things stand out, but I probably, if I tried to explain it, I would definitely hack it up.
Yeah, I mean, I probably will too. There's plenty of textbooks and lots you could go into. But yeah, the brief idea is that you, as the teacher, as the guide, as the coach, you believe the person has the answers within them, and you're not coming in to fix. You're not coming in to give them answers. You're there to help guide them and help them bring out a solution. I mean, the goal of motivational interviewing is to get behavior change, to get someone to change their current behavior, but not that the coach has a specific behavior in mind, but that we're going to ask the right questions. We're going to listen. We're going to be empathetic. We're going to reflect back what we're hearing so that they can come up with an answer that is right for them.
Didn't they use it in like addiction therapy and a bunch of things like that? Is that correct? Am I remembering that correctly?
Yeah. Yeah, started in addiction therapy, been used in marriage counseling and kind of all, I mean, policing. They've used it in all sorts of fields and then made its way in the sport probably within the last 5 years where that book was written about how to use it in the sport. But yeah, just any situation, scenario where you're helping someone change a behavior, whether they're addicted to drugs, or they're showing up late, anything like that.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt you there for that. So let's get back to let's get back to your player there.
Yeah, so I think that's that idea of the spirit of motivational interviewing is you're coming with curiosity instead of, you know, I know what's wrong with this kid and I'm gonna tell them, you know, what they gotta do. So if I come with that curiosity and say, you know, it seems like you're not yourself, what's going on, then I would just listen. And maybe they would say, I'm really frustrated with this girl. I don't know what to do. Or maybe they would say, like, Dad, I didn't get any sleep last night and I studied for a midterm and I'm just, so it'd just be helpful. I would have a better, instead of coming and thinking I know what was wrong, I would actually get to understand what's going on. And then I would, you know, reflect back, or I guess I'd first want to validate. I'd want to validate their emotions and say, yeah, that's, it sounds hard, or I could see why you're frustrated, or it's a lot to take on to have midterms going on right now. So I'd first want to make sure they felt heard and show them that I care for them, and that I'm not just going to brush it off and go, oh yeah, you're fine, don't worry about it. Like, it's not a big deal.
Right.
I think when you do
that was probably the old way of going, hey, everybody's dealing with that stuff. You can do it.
Yeah. Be tough now. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that's an important step and a hard step as a coach, because we feel like they're wasting messing up the drill. They're messing up our practice. And we can see clearly, like, we're not in their emotional state. We can see clearly, like, oh, they just got to change their attitude and, like, everything will be better. But I don't think, if they don't feel seen and heard, it's going to be harder to get them to take a step towards being themselves. So, yeah, that's, I think, validating, maybe paraphrasing what you're hearing. It sounds like you're really frustrated because of what your partner's doing right now, or the way you're frustrated with the way you're playing right now. And then from there, I think it'd be just some open-ended questions. So I hear you're really frustrated, but how do you want to act, you know, moving forward? Like, how do you want to finish this practice? And then again, I would listen, and my hope is they would say, yeah, this is not how I want to be. Like, I really want to be a great teammate for the rest of practice, or maybe it's a skill. Like, I want to be locked in on just hitting my serve, and get back to that. And then I would, again, reflect that. When they have that change talk, if I've asked the right questions, I'm going to inspire them to say, you know, some sort of new behavior they want to do. So when they do have that change talk, I would really want to jump on that. Like, oh, yeah, that sounds great. Like, being a great teammate for the next 5 minutes or attacking your serve sounds like a good focus. Probably more helpful than being frustrated. I think it's a great idea.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say the importance of the open-ended question, like to bring out the change talk. Like, if I ask closed-ended questions, which would be things like, are you going to change? Do you want to make a change? The answer is yes or no.
Right.
And then they stop. But if I say what, why, how, if I can start with those three words, then there's an opportunity for them. You know, what do you want to do moving forward, or how can you make the most of the rest of practice? Then they have an opportunity to not just say yes or no and move on. They have the opportunity to answer it and give you some change they want to make.
Yeah, those are subtle, but those are important, right? Yes. It's simple but not easy, I guess, is what they say, right? The other thing that does that has me thinking, and this has me, I played tennis today and I played a guy, and it's easy to get, you know, stuck in the past, right? And so you started this with kind of looking at the past, but then quickly getting into kind of what's next in the present. Right. What are the behaviors that are going to happen right now coming up? And this idea of being a purveyor of hope, which is one of my little coaching things that I'm always trying to strive for, and saying, hey, good things are right around the corner. And can I kind of just exude that, you know, as I communicate with kids?
Yeah. And I think that's the art of it is, you know, I think it could be easy to get sunk into the frustration and like over-validate and like sit in that mire for too long. And then I think it could also, the other way, it could be too easy to go fast and like, oh, no, everything's going to be okay. You got this. I think finding, you know, you got to know the player. You got to know how frustrated, like what sort of space they're in, how much, you know, maybe you need to do it during a water break when there's a little more time, or maybe post-practice, you know, it kind of depends on the scenario. But yeah, the goal is to validate and then to get to, okay, what are we going to do now?
Yeah.
Like what? Yeah. And there is, and you know, I know, you know, I believe in you and you're capable of making changes. And yeah, I think getting to the optimistic state, after you validated is where you want to get to.
Good stuff.
Very cool. Very cool.
I like it. We're getting coached up here, Davis.
I know. I love it. I love it.
this is awesome.
Super cool. So I had an example of where I begrudgingly used that method, meaning I thought this player was having an attitude towards me and she was frustrated. But instead of saying, what's the deal with your attitude? I said, what is your body language telling me right now? And she's like, well, probably that I'm sick. And she was sick to her stomach. You know what I mean? And so I thought she had a bad attitude, but literally just by asking that very first question, it opened up the dialogue that I didn't even know anything about. So I definitely think there's a lot of value in that method for sure.
Yeah, that's the power of it, because I think we as coaches have high standards and we want to hold people to reaching for excellence. And so when someone is below our standard, I get frustrated and I want to go, you know, I'm a little bit pissed off and a little emotional, and I want to, you know, kind of bear into them a little bit. Right. But I have to remind myself, I have to take a deep breath and go, okay, I need to approach this with some curiosity first.
All right, the scenario is great. And now we get into the third part, John, is the resource part. And after listening to Coach Your Brains Out, we know that you're one of the most curious guys in the profession, and you're always out there hunting around. So what are you doing now? What are you looking? What are you doing?
Hopefully always something. I mean, some of my favorite resources, like go-tos, are, you know, the Perception Action podcast with Rob Gray. Okay. I think that one's consistently has really, you know, evidence-based information. It can be a little dense, but it's great. One that's a little probably less familiar with coaches, it's actually a marriage counseling podcast called Where Should We Begin?
Okay.
With Esther Perel.
There's a new one. Okay. Where should we begin? Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what do you appreciate about that one?
I think she's incredible. I mean, one, it's fun to be like a fly on the wall with these like relationships, these marriages, and like, you know, I'm like a version of that. Maybe not as extreme, but I'm, so you get to just hear these interactions and relationships. But what I really, really like is the way she, kind of some of the skills we're just talking about, like the questions she'll ask, the way she'll paraphrase and reflect what she heard. I think she's just a great example of a really good listener, someone who's able to guide a conversation and help build relationships. So I think she's just incredible. So I think it's entertaining and it's really, there's a lot to learn from her.
Okay.
That's cool. I love history. I bounce around a lot. Actually, Marv, something my coach Pepperdine recommended, this book on Vietnam, While We Were Young. It was made into a movie, but it's about this guy, Hal Moore, who's the, what's the right word? Sorry, lieutenant? I don't know. He's the leader of this group in one of the early fights in Vietnam, and just hearing like the way he structured things and even the preparation going into Vietnam, and just when the chaos hits, the way he responds, I found that. And that's one of my other interests, is just diving into stuff within history. So I enjoy finding that. But some of my favorite books would be like Heads Up Baseball by Ken Revis. I think it's a must read for any athlete. It's a mental skills book. I thought Billy's book, Billy Allen, The Inner Knight, is a great one for
The Inner Knight.
Yeah.
I got a copy of that. That's awesome.
I had my team read it. I think a high school team would love it. I think there's a lot of great mental skills in there. Yeah.
So that's one that I give I give it to all my graduating seniors.
Yes, I got it from you.
Oh, cool.
Because we're the Bishop's Knights, right? So
it's
just
right.
a little too good. Just a little too easy to use as the gift there. That's a good one. And then of course, you know, in Coach Your Brains Out, you guys are always on the cutting edge as far as guests and your motor learning groups that you have, and you got I was thinking about you today, John, because the Pirates are off to a pretty good start.
Yeah, that's my new baseball team for sure. That I've learned a lot from that crew. Just got to hang. Bernie Holiday came to Florida State with us, spent the week with us there, and continue to just learn so much from him. So yeah, I've been very lucky to be associated with that crew.
Unbelievable!
I think they're gonna have a good year.
Good stuff. Well, before we let you go, I know the one thing Davis wants to hit you up is, you know, Davis is the volley dad now, you know, and he's got the young one. And now, John, how old is your daughter now?
She's 11.
So she's got a couple years. a couple years on Davis's daughter. So I'm going to let you guys chat a little bit and give Davis a little advice. How did you, because I know she's playing volleyball now, right?
Yeah, she's playing some beach volleyball for Patty Dodd at MB Sand.
Okay.
And she's playing for the, I guess they're in 11 at Sunshine.
Okay.
And she's also doing basketball, you know, park and rec, and she plays club soccer, she's ballet, she's here, so she does a lot, not just volleyball. But right.
You're really missing out just having her do all that other stuff. And
Yeah, I know.
So I guess my first question would be, like, what do you think would be good to start with? Like, my girl's only two, but she is an active girl. So for if you want to start, and ultimately I'd love for her to play volleyball, but I'm not going to make her, right? But obviously, but I guess what I mean is ultimately that's where I would like her to end up. Do you have any ideas where to start? I mean, sports wise or activities wise?
Yeah. I thought gymnastics was really, really good for, okay. I definitely didn't want her to do it beyond like five or six. No, I shouldn't say definitely. I worry about some of the culture of gymnastics, but okay. For the young kids, I thought it was great for flexibility and strength and creativity and just fun. You could like roll around and she'd do like, we'd go to the park and kind of see her do some of the same, like almost like parkour sort of stuff.
Nice.
I think all that stuff's really, really good. But when it comes to more like the volleyball side, I mean, Todd sent us, he sent me a prototype of the balloon ball that
yes.
he had. And we used that a bunch. We'd build little, you know, courts in our living room, and would just play games with it. I mean, we still play balloon games where, you know, around the house, we're like,
yeah, I got to send you the new spike light. Yeah. We have a new one. It's a little bit heavier. So, still isn't going to, you know, break the lamps, but it's got a little more heft to it. So, I got to send you the new one.
So I got to say,
would love to.
My girl's favorite show in the world is Bluey. Have you heard of Bluey, Coach?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So there's an episode called Keepy Uppy, where they bounce around the balloon, and then it finally ultimately hits the ground, and then it blows up or whatever. But it's basically volleyball. So we're like, you want to play Keepy Uppy? And she does it. She likes to kind of knock it around. It's so funny and cute. So I don't know.
So it's probably my daughter's, even now at 11, it's probably her favorite thing to do with me is Keepy Uppy. And we've made up, you know, you make up fun rules and have her make them up where, like, if it hits the ceiling, the opponent gets a point, and you know, if you score in this room, it's worth two. And you know, we've used the whole house to swear.
So fun.
But yeah, it's some of the principles of, like, I've got to track, you know, I'll kind of like spike it or I'll hit it. She's got to track where the ball is going and read where I'm putting it, and she's got to, you know, figure out something moves within the air. So I don't know how much transfer there is. Mainly it's just fun and
just
running around, and there's some agility in there. But that's some fun we still do. But we set up since probably the age of three or four, she had a gymnastics bar in the backyard.
Oh, wow.
Nice. And pretty soon that became a volleyball net.
Okay. Nice.
Just over the little gymnastics bar. And, you know, we do, you know, some bumping and stuff like that, but I try to get her spiking as much as I could. And even early on, I would have her, I'd put her really low and we'd do a bounce contest where the challenger to like see how she could spike it, and how we'd mark how high it went up on the wall.
That's so cool.
You know, bounce on the ground. And then I think it's usually the most fun part of volleyball is spiking it. So kind of find ways to do that.
I like it. Most families, you know, they're on that you know, measuring the kid's height, you know, in the doors. Not the Mayer family. They're going, how high can you bounce it, baby?
Yeah,
how high can you bounce it?
That's awesome.
Yeah, we're all about, yeah, exactly. And with that, like, now we have we bought a little cheap Amazon net that can go up and down. In the backyard, we'll play smash ball, which I think is such a great game for kids.
What's smash ball?
Fun for spiking it. So smash ball is basically on like a tennis-sized net. And if it's one-on-one, the ball's allowed to bounce once. So you self-toss it. So my daughter starts with it. She self-tosses it. She has to spike it. And it can bounce once, and I have to try to catch it.
Oh, cool.
And then I go right back and I self toss it and I try to bounce it. And we just go back and forth. And there's a ton of, you know, it's jumping. You're trying to read the hitter. If you have 2-on-2, you can add more layers and we'll get like my wife or my parents will come out and we'll play it. And if I spike it at my daughter's side, it bounces and she catches it, then she can toss it to my wife and she can set her and then she'll jump and try to smash it. Nice. And with the low net, like, you learn how to use a good arm swing and you learn some defensive ideas and, you know, some setting in there. And it's just, there's no serving. If you lose the point or win the point, wherever the ball is, you just go to the next one. It's just smash ball, right? Like, I smash the next one. So it's like a ton of jumping and running and moving. It's just the opposite of typical youth volleyball where it's, you know, serve, ace, stand around, go shag the ball. It's just constant motion and action.
I love
and
that.
And I think if it was to be adopted more, youth volleyball would grow.
Totally.
And I could send you a video that goes through the progression of it.
That sounds so
cool. We've gotten a lot out of doing that. And then we've always have done a lot of make-up fun games. And I'll make up one and then she makes up one where, I don't know, we were even doing it today where I think we did, you had three touches. This was 1-on-1. And one of the touches you had to do a 360.
Nice.
And then she made up the next one. And one of the touches, she played soccer. One of the touches had to be like a juggle with a knee or a foot.
Okay.
So we'll just add, you know, play to five. Okay, one of the touches, you have to hit it over with your opposite hand. And then she makes, I said, okay, you make up one and we'll just go back and forth and play these little like mini games. And it just doesn't get dull or boring. And it allows, like, some of them she'll be more skilled than me. Because it plays to her skill set and she can then beat me. Nice. I guess something I've never like, I think I try to always make it close. But I don't just let her win.
Right, okay.
Like I still try to win.
Nice.
Within reason. Like, I'll try to keep it close and give her chances, but I don't know. I like the idea of her having to earn it and me not just giving it to
right.
her.
No,
whatever we do.
Yeah. Gotta earn it. Nah, that's I love cool. it. Good
exactly.
stuff.
Exactly.
That's totally great stuff. Yeah.
Unbelievable. All right, yes. Davis, you got a little list there.
I know.
You got some work
Stoked.
To do.
That's awesome. Thank you, Coach. That's great.
John, it's been great. Thanks so much for taking the time to share your expertise with the VolleyPod audience. And we definitely want to pump your podcast, Coach Your Brains Out, for our listeners. You got to check out John there. He's the best in the business. And best of luck to your LMU squad this week. Getting that crosstown. Is that crosstown? You think you guys are both on kind of the west side there, right?
Yeah, we're very close. It's across 405.
That's it. All right. Well, across the freeway. Take it to those Bruins across this freeway. Week. We're going to be rooting for you.
Battle of the 405. It'll be fun.
Thanks. We're fired up. Thanks. Yeah, thanks guys for having me. Again, love what you guys are doing and honored to be a part of the VolleyPod.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on, Coach.
Right.
I really appreciate it.
Thanks, John. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.